Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, in verse 16 to verse 21. If you're there with me, say amen.
Amen.
As usual, I'll come in the first verse and you come in, and so we come through the whole scripture. Verse 16. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, everybody. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18, I read, and on my servants and on my maid handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19, everybody. And I will shew wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. Vapor of smoke. Verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And verse 21, everybody. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, we count upon your free spirit this morning to carry those words and wing them by your power and cause them to go with precision. Let every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who listens to your word this morning be inspired, challenged, and transformed. Let no man leave here the way they came into this church. Let every one of us leave by the south gate, even though we've come in through the north gate. Let our lives be turned around by the preaching and teaching of your word. In Jesus Christ's name, everyone said a big amen.
Amen.
Shake somebody and say good morning and take your seats in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me quickly start by saying that it is a dangerous thing to start anything or any season of your life without the participation of the Holy Spirit. I repeat that one more time. It is very dangerous for you as an individual to start your life or start a season without the participation of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus was going to begin his ministry, and the Bible says that he went to the Jordan and was baptized. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 3 and chapter 4, when he was coming out of the waters, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God came upon him, drove him to the wilderness, and he returned to begin his ministry in the power of the Spirit. He returned to begin his ministry in the power of the Spirit. Now, it's important to remember one more time that it is dangerous for you to start a year, to start a ministry, to start whatever it is without the participation of the Spirit of God in your life. Elisha was a young man who followed Elijah, had a prophetic call upon his life, but will not start his ministry until the mantle, a type of the anointing which comes from the Holy Spirit, until that anointing came upon him, he did not begin his own ministry until the Holy Spirit came upon him. It is dangerous for you to start a year, start a ministry, start a season without the help or the participation of the Spirit of the Almighty God. David began his journey to the throne, if you remember very well. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says that, and Samuel was asked by the Lord to go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons. And when he got there, the Bible says that he met with David, of course, after passing through seven sons, and anointed him with oil. And the Bible says that, and the Spirit of God came upon David from that day forward. Can I have everybody say forward? Say it one more time, say forward. So before David ever began anything, what did he receive? He had received the visitation of the Holy Spirit. Don't begin a journey without the help of the Spirit of God. Don't begin a journey without the nodding of the Holy Spirit. Don't begin a journey without the participation of the Holy Spirit. It is very, very important that the governor of the earth now, the representative of God on earth, it is very crucial, important, that he actually endorses whatever it is you want to do on behalf of God before you get ahead and start to do it. Praise the name of the Lord. Touch your neighbor and say to your neighbor, don't begin without the Spirit. Yeah, say it one more time. Say, don't begin without the Spirit. the disciples of Jesus Christ, something happened to them. They were getting ready to begin their ministry, and Jesus said to them in Luke chapter 24 in verse 49, he said to them, he said, hey, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. What he was saying to them was very simple. Don't begin until you are empowered. Don't start until you receive the empowerment to go ahead in this particular assignment. So he asked them to wait for 50 days. Amazing, sir. You know one thing? And that's why I like the number 10. That's why I like the number 2010. Do you know it was 10 days after Jesus rose again that the Holy Spirit came? 10 days after. That's why 10 is a very significant number. Amen to Jesus. That's why for us it is our year of what, sir? Manifestation. It is a year of the uncovering, the removing of the veil. It is a year in which the things that have covered your giftings, covered your abilities, make you not to see yourself. This is a year in which the Spirit of God will participate and take off the limits from off your life. Somebody say manifestation. Say it one more time. Say manifestation. Paul the apostle was called by God. The Lord Jesus encountered him in the wilderness on his way to Damascus and then told him that he was going to be mightily used of God, but then he will not go into the assignment until he had to go somewhere and someone laid hands on him and he received the Holy Spirit. Only then did he begin the journey into his ministry. Never begin anything without the participation of the Holy Spirit. In your life, there is more to life and success than strength and skills. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? There is more to life. There is more to success. There is more to achievement in life than strength and skills. These things are very crucial, very important. You need strength. You need skills. It's important that if you want to succeed as a manager, you want to succeed as a leader, you want to succeed as a business owner, you need skills, money skills. You need leadership skills, communication skills. You need people skills. You need managerial skill, administrative skills. You need all this. In fact, let me say this. You need talking skills. Praise God. But I've come to realize that the race is not for the mighty. The race is not for the swift. Skills and strength, as wonderful as they are, they do not necessarily guarantee success. It is very questionable if you will succeed in life without strength and skills. But strength and skills does not necessarily guarantee success. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is dangerous for God to lift you up without strength and without skills. Because if God lifts you up, God will be discredited for lifting someone who is not strong enough to handle what God has given him. Someone who is not skillful enough to handle the lifting that God has given him. Ladies and gentlemen, David was strong when God lifted him up. Not only that, he was skillful in all that David was doing. Am I correct? A man that could throw a sling. Listen to me. God only aided the stone. The skill was with David. You needed to clap your hands. You better do that quickly. Come on. I see somebody going around saying, the Lord said, I'm going to be the manager of that company. There's a prophecy on my life. I'm going to become the manager of X, Y, and Z and all of that. And I ask you a question. Now that God has said that you're going to become the manager of that place, why don't you go and acquire managerial skills? So that when your time comes, God does not repent for making you a manager. I heard of a country, I don't know, somewhere in Africa, I can't really put, but I know you may likely know that country, where, you know, they had their president, but, you know, I think because of strength, it's becoming difficult for the president to perform. You understand I'm saying that now? It happens. It happens. Somewhere in Africa, praise God. He got a long way to go in life, boy. now listen to me. That's why if you want to become a Levite, to become a Levite, there are age limits for you to become a Levite. And then there are physical requirements. You must be strong. You must not be disabled. You must not be black. To serve God, physical requirements, not just that you can speak with tongues. Can read Bible from that time. If you don't have strength, they'll say, sorry, sir, we appreciate you, but you cannot join the Levites. You cannot join the priesthood. Physical strength. I write to young men because you are strong.
So strength is very important. Amen. That's why for those of us who are men here in the house of God, there's nothing wrong for you. Learn to play football. Go do exercises. Eat things that are going to keep you. So that after 45, then your life just begins. I get to 45, you now come and preach 20 minutes sermon. And I praise God, brethren. Hallelujah, brethren. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Father God. Is somebody hearing the word of the Lord? Man of God, shut up. You are tired. And you see, maybe your ministry is just beginning, but you do not have strength. A ministry is just beginning, but there's no strength to carry it on. It's just like a woman who is carrying pregnancy. In the case of Rachel, the Bible says she carried when it came to the time of bringing forth to birth. She had no strength to push forth. The baby came, but she was not alive. May you not come to your season and not have what it takes to sustain it. Amen. If you have to go jogging on the road, jog, my friend. I don't do some skipping every morning. Skip 100. Is that okay? Be fit. What's your neighbor say? Be fit. If I Paul the apostle, physical exercise profited little. That the absence of that little can kill you. The absence of that little. Man, saying that particularly because some of the men of God that God is lifting up among us here. I just noticed that men of God in our church, the moment someone went up administrative position, I just noticed my leadership just started having pot bellies. What's wrong? What's happening? When did you start that? It's the Lord's doing. I hear that. Particularly, I noticed those of the people in the deaconship that associate more with Pastor Isaiah. I just know their stomach are just bulging. What's going on? But those of them that maintain relationship with me, Deacon Victor, stand up, man of God, stand up, stand up. And that this is how God is going to keep this young man for the next years with strength and skill. We are together, man of God. The others have chosen their path. Amen. So much so that Baba Africa, who makes joke in the church, has discovered that there is a dysfunction in the church. And what is the issue? He has discovered that the resident pastor is bigger than the senior pastor. And he's very particular. You know what he keeps saying, Sam? He's a residential pastor. That led some of us to begin to probe what is leading to that. Because could it be that there are some things that are sent to the senior pastor that ends up at the resident pastor's place? Lord, have mercy. Doctor, you help me come and preach on that next week. Amen. Touch your neighbor, say you need strength. Boy, see my wife now, man of God, she skip every morning. Every morning. And she came back sharing testimony. We say, people are saying I'm slimming down. I said, what happened? Were you big before? I didn't know. Praise God. Not a joke, man. Every morning, I said, who is she competing with? The woman knew that the way this man is going, God is taking him places. So I better be fit for the journey before I become a robustious. And then they will now say there's no space in the plane to carry her. Space. Because she has become mamacious. God will bless you, my wife. You will live long. If I 80, so after 80, we'll now have discussion. Then I will now go there. You can continue eating the fruit of the labor. Because somebody will go first. I want to be the first to go so you can enjoy the remaining there. Praise God. Hallelujah. So strength, skills are very important. Very crucial to your success in life. However, strength and skill on their own do not guarantee success. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? If they do not on their own guarantee success, then what do you need else? You need the second S, the fourth S. Strength, skills, and the spirit. Am I talking to somebody here? And I'm going to prove that to you in Zechariah. The Bible says in chapter 4 verse 6. He answered and spake unto me and said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might. Not by might. And not by power. But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So there is a need for the balance of strength, skills, and the spirit. If you've been doing so very well in your office by virtue of strength and skills,
I want to imagine what your life will look like if you added the Spirit to it. I need to say that one more time. Hello, sir. If your business is this successful by just the use of sheer strength and skills, I want to imagine the kind of quantum leap that your business will experience, the kind of exponential growth that your business or your ministry or your career will experience if you can just add the third, the tripod. Have a balanced triangle of strength, spirit, and skills. 2010, it's not just a year for strength. It's not just a year for skills. In fact, let me say this now. It's not just a year to have the spirit without strength. So for instance, no matter God, you imagine that you're successful by the operation of the spirit in your life. Let's imagine the kind of success that you're having. Let's assume you have this level of success by just the operation of the spirit without strength, without skills. Let me say this. I've seen some men of God who are so intimate with, if you go to Ibadan, there are places they call Rioke. I don't know if any of you know about Rioke. They, men that go to pray on the mountain. There are men of God, when 60-day fast, they will so fast that the Holy Spirit is passing by now. They say, Holy Spirit, you are passing again. Where are you going to now? They are in strong relationship with the Holy Spirit. But you see what? Because of the absence of skills, the presence of the Holy Spirit amounts to nothing much in their lives. What am I talking to somebody here? So if you have gone this far by the use of the operation of the Holy Spirit without strength, without skills, I want you to imagine what will happen in your life if you can just have the spirit and strength to get into the synagogue and wipe some people out, because it took strength to wipe those people out of the synagogue. Am I talking to somebody here? The reason why Jesus Christ hung on the cross and died at the appropriate time, because in prophecy he was supposed to die at a particular time. Come on. The reason why he was able to hang that long, some of us would have died 30 minutes into crucifixion. But you see, there was strength. A man who could go and pray for 3 hours, prayed 3 hours on the same issue, God must have guided him with strength. You see, but that's not just all. There was a spirit, there was strength, and I hope you do know that Jesus is a man of unspeakable skills. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Over the next four weeks, I'm going to be opening your eyes to some things related to these 3 issues I've mentioned. I encourage you to hang on. Praise God. So I'll just be introductory this morning. I'll just introduce you to some few things. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. So there's a need for the balance of the three. We need strength, we need the spirit, we need also skill. But my focus today will be on the spirit life. And that's why this whole month we'll be focusing on what we call manifestation by the spirit, or manifesting the spirit. My topic will therefore be today, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to me. Somebody say, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to me. Say like you really mean it. Say, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to me. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what level you're operating in the society right now. It doesn't matter what self-influence you find yourself in. Whether you're in media, entertainment, you're in government, you're in politics, whatever it is you find yourself doing. Wherever God has sent you to, whatever God has asked you to be doing, it's important for you to realize that the Holy Spirit has been sent by the Almighty God to come on earth to carry out specific assignments to you. Watch this. In order to enable you to achieve maximum success in whatever sphere of influence God has called you to operate in. Now, gone are the days when we used to think that the Holy Spirit was exclusively a preserved thing or a preserved person for pastors. Is that okay? Because you know why we don't have much of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit among members of churches? Because they don't think they need the Holy Spirit. Because they think the person that needs the Holy Spirit is who? The pastor. And they think that the Holy Spirit is exclusively preserved or reserved for the pastor. And for the Christians, they think that the ultimate expression of the Holy Spirit is just speaking in tongues. So I'm just only for you to speak with tongues. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you is much more than that. Now let me say this, the tailor needs the Holy Spirit. Come on, let me talk to somebody right now. Wait a minute. Can I even shock you? Do you know that the first operation of the Holy Spirit had nothing to do with priestly ministry? Come on. Hey, child, go talk to me now. The first manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the Bible had nothing to do with priest or priestly ministries. In fact, priestly ministries came several years later. The first operations of the Holy Spirit has to do with creations, creativity. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? God spoke, the Holy Spirit performed the word. Is that okay? Moving all over the face of the earth. Wherever there was problem, the Holy Spirit is always there. So the Holy Spirit is more reserved for situations of chaos, disorder, because the Holy Spirit has the capacity to bring out order out of disorder, creativity out of things that are in a complete state of disorder. Therefore, somebody who works in the bank needs the Holy Spirit. A painter needs the Holy Spirit. A tailor needs the Holy Spirit. An administrator needs the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, look at it this way. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit to administrate creation. Come on. Watch this. Beelzebub. You remember Beelzebub? The man that God gave the capacity to be able to do creations and all of that, create artifacts and the rest of them. Now, such a man, the Bible says God gave him the Spirit. God gave him the Holy Spirit so that he can do creative things. So the Holy Spirit in manifestation in the early part of scripture had nothing to do with what's up? With preaching or singing or lay hands on the sick. The Holy Spirit always looks for professionals to operate through. See, you can become a better nurse if the Holy Spirit goes with you to the office. You can become a better banker if the Holy Spirit follows you to the office. You can become a better doctor if the Holy Spirit follows you down to the place of work. You can become, in fact, a better scientist if the Holy Spirit follows you down. What's his name now? One of the doctors in South Africa that God used to produce about 26 different inventions. A child of God. He will kneel down and say, Father, show me the answer to problems through peanuts. One man that carried peanuts and produced 26 different products from peanuts, because as he's looking at the peanut, God is speaking to him. Have you noticed now that we have more of people from the world creating things and the church consuming them? I'm going to show you something here. Praise God. Watch this now. Have you noticed that the church is more in a consuming position? We consume, they produce light. That's why the money of the church has not yet benefited the church. Because the monies come into the church, we send them back to the world. Because they sit down with their human mind, create things, we consume them. I'm waiting for the day when a Christian tailor will sit down and God will give you unspeakable ideas about clothes, fashions. Some of our stylists in church, I'm looking forward to the day when you just say, Father God, show me styles that have not yet come into existence. I used to remember in those days, during those days of prevalence of activities of spiritual forces of darkness in Lagos and all of that. You know what we hear? We hear that they have, that's what they said. That's none of our business. We learned that they have laboratories and manufacturing plants inside water. Isn't that an indictment on the church? And they said that's where they created. And so even churches, we preach and say, be careful of the weevil you are using. No, they are coming from water. Well, church, that say we should be careful. Which one is church producing? We are consumers. We like to consume. We like to consume. Christians who produce, sorry man, you're in the music industry. Christians who produce album and they will now go and look for worldly record labels to market them. Why were Christian sisters compromising, brothers compromising? Because we don't have, and then the church will now say, can you imagine? Hey, look at it. See brother Chris. Yeah, see brother Chris now. He has, see the way he's singing. He started in the Lord though. He started in the Lord. Brother Chris started in the Lord. See where he's going now. Why won't he go the way he's going? Which one have you set up to help him? Are there no millionaires in the church that can set up record labels? How much does it cost to set up a record labels? Do you know what it will mean when we have Christian record labels that are marketing Christian artists? I was saying, listen, if because every marketer and producers dictate what the singer sing. Sorry, see, the Jesus in this, there are too much. you have to reduce them to two. Because if there are too many, they can block the ear of the people. So reduce them to two. Later, is there another name you can use for Jesus? You can say something like J-U. You know, you are just you, man. Lord, or something, you are special to me. You are my special love. You know, something like that. Why don't you change the name? And so that can be acceptable by all. And your money is here. Actually, I'm not saying you should stop worshiping God. Your 60 million naira is here on ground. And this is a brother who has never seen 60,000. This is a brother who has begged church to help him with 6,000 to go to the studio. And church didn't help. Now the unbelievers putting 60 million down. Just saying, bow down, worship me. But not in a direct way, just in a stylish way. Just bow down, worship me. Now the 60 million will be yours. And you say they shouldn't do that? We do not recommend that. But the issue is that the church is not proactive and productive. And that's because we do not understand the role of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. God stepped out, participated, and walked with the Holy Spirit, and we saw flowers. God walked with the Holy Spirit, and we saw trees. God walked with the Holy Spirit, and we saw man. God walked with the Holy Spirit, and we saw rivers. God walked with the Holy Spirit, we saw the sun, we saw the moon. God walking with the Holy Spirit, producing things. Come on, am I talking to somebody here? See, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you is to make you become a producer. You should be able to produce something for your generation. Produce a book. Produce a CD. A company, something, a product, a service. It's not just about speaking with tongues. There's more to the Holy Spirit than just speaking with tongues. Honestly, sometimes when you hear some tongues, you know that this tongue has been poverty stricken for a long time. Poverty has really poor. Huh? Oh, some of your tongues are overdue for change. Overdue.
Hallelujah.
Are you in the house of the Lord? Five things you must know about the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit is eternal, ageless. Meaning the Holy Spirit transverses time. The Holy Spirit is not restricted by time. So time cannot affect the Holy Spirit. What happens in time cannot affect the Holy Spirit. Watch this now. What that means is that if the Holy Spirit is ageless, meaning he has existed in eternity past and will be in eternity to come. Is that okay? Now, what that simply means is that the Holy Spirit can look into the future and determine the needs that are about to come in your generation and come into time and reveal them to you. Oh, come on, you didn't get what I just said right now. Did you get what I just said right now? If the Holy Spirit is ageless, then that means that the Holy Spirit is eternal. Is that okay, sir? So the Holy Spirit doesn't get to know. Please mind me, everybody here now. The Holy Spirit never gets to know something. He always knows. Is that okay? The Holy Spirit doesn't get to find out. He has always known. He's always known all things. There is nothing the Holy Spirit is going to know about you tomorrow. Don't miss that now, child. Come on. Look at me this way. That's why you're here. Hallelujah. Now watch it one more time. The Holy Spirit is not going to get to know anything about you. He's always known all things about you. In fact, before you began, he knew you. Because don't forget, he is God himself. And the Bible says that those that he foreknew, he preordained. Those I preordained, he called. Those I called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. So the Holy Spirit has always known the things that are, the things that have been, and the things that shall be. So the Holy Spirit can just come and peep into the future in the next 10 years. I say, wow, the way Nigeria is going right now, and they'll come to the King John Hussein and say, come, my son, come. I'll just tell the King John Hussein, in the place of prayer, kneel down, son. He will just kneel down. While he's worshiping God, praying to God, the Holy Spirit comes and whisper to him and say, listen, start a bread factory in Abuja. Bread factory in Abuja. Go to South Africa, go and learn about how to do bread. That's okay. So he leaves him there, and then he jumps out of the, while he's praying in tongues. And that's what we call productive praying in tongues. When you're praying in tongues, Lord, Abuja, what is your will? Abuja, la cantoriendo, zebregediantos. And you're praying, suddenly you're hearing the Holy Spirit, bread factory. How did Colgate come? Colgate McLean, that is a worldwide phenomenon today. It's in the place of prayer. Huh? The place of prayer. See, the Holy Spirit can open your eyes and say, okay, look, in this particular area, there's going to be a need for restaurant. Is that okay? And the Holy Spirit will give you the idea to go there and start a restaurant. The Holy Spirit will tell you, my friend, you need to write a book. With the way Abuja is going right now, I've gone into the minds of men and I know what the needs of men are now. Right now, everybody wants information about parenting. And the Holy Spirit will say, my son, in the place of prayer, while you're praying, I'm talking about productive praying in tongues. No, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. What are you calling him for?
Holy Ghost. Eh? Like the way Pastor Chris put it. See, some people, when they want to pray, he said that's to show you how they don't understand, how they don't understand their relationship with God. When some people come, they say, Father, we have come to you again. We are asking you now to come down because we want to talk with you. He said that's to show you that they always have, that God is not always with them. So that's the way they live. So there's always a place where they always come and meet with, and when they meet with him, then they finish, then they leave him. And they go on. That's where life is always hard. But in him we live. So we never walk to him. We never go to God. We're always in God. So that's if you are born again. And so don't, so that nobody say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. With bottle of shine. No, that's what I'm saying. Touch your neighbor, say become productive. Yeah, man. Yeah. You got to become productive. I know this is not the kind of Holy Spirit teaching you've been receiving before. Hey, it's God. It's got to be a shift. It's got to be a shift. Hello. Our national problems we have in this country. Electricity, water. Did I shock you? Do you know that? Okay. If I go to shave my hair. I have a young man that shaved my hair for me. Pastor Shea introduced him to me. And so, watch this. God bless you, sir. Pastor Shea has been faithful in that. Or every time I barb my hair, he pays the money. We'll put our hands together for that. Faithfulness in little things. Hallelujah. Very important. Yeah. And I value that a lot. Now, watch this. This young man shaves my hair. When he finished shaving my hair, sir, you know how much you pay him? Maybe about 100 or 200. I don't know how much you pay him. But it doesn't go beyond 500. That would be, you're dashing in money. You know, now watch this. He shaves my hair, he gets 500. But I went to meet somebody for just 1 week. Now, the guy shaves my hair for a whole year, maybe it's about maybe 10 times or thereabout. And ultimately, he gets maybe at most 3,000 from me for shaving my hair. So for solving the problem of my hair, he gets that money. But then I went to meet somebody and I wanted the person to train me on a particular thing as on program monitoring and evaluation. And the person took me for 5 days, just Monday to Friday. How much did I drop with the person? 50,000. Do you understand that? I mean, 80,000. 80,000. If I took me in two sessions, that's 10 days. And so he got 160,000 from me for just solving my problem of ignorance. Somebody barbed my hair and got for a whole year, all the number of times, didn't get more than 5,000. Somebody else solved my problem of ignorance and get 160,000. And I wasn't the only ignorant guy that was there. We have so many ignorant guys from Chain, from Gain, some of them from USAID, from World Bank. All manner of ignorant people, all of us gathered together for this one man to just sit down and be showing us something on the board, gave us papers to read. After, how are you guys doing? Put tea before us, gave us a donut, biscuit. You guys, how you're doing? MDs from organization, managers and directors, all of us gathered together because we're ignorant guys just gathered together and somebody solving our problem of ignorance. And the guy, after we finished, said, how are you guys? Thank you very much. Gave us one funny certificate, pretty laminated it for us. How are you all doing? Bye bye. I'll be on my way back to Britain tomorrow. And the guy joined the next available flight and off he went. Now watch the problem. Watch it now. He has solved a big problem of ignorance in us. And got so much money in return. Is that okay? Now there are some people they call consultants. They consult for organizations. They just walk into an organization and consult for them by carrying out situation analyses. They carry out baseline studies and do so many other leadership studies, appraisals and all of that, evaluations and monitorings. They do that for just about 1 week and they walk out of the place with about $1 million, $2 million, $3 million for just spending a week with an organization. Now, what am I trying to say here? Watch this, child of God. How much you will receive in life is dependent on the kind of problems you solve. Okay, you didn't get what I just said right now. All right, now, if you kill lions, you qualify to take care of sheep. You kill bears, you qualify to take care of sheep. But there you kill Goliath, then you qualify to take over the throne of a man who is sitting there who cannot attack Goliath. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God here? So the bigger the problem you solve, then the more resources you get. And don't forget that the man that killed Goliath was the one that the Bible says, and Samuel anointed him, and the Spirit of God came upon him and kept on moving him forward to look for problems to solve. From the moment David was anointed, David was not hard speaking with tongues. David was rather hard solving problems. Are you in the house of God? David was busy solving problems. The moment Samuel anointed him,
The Bible says to us that, and then Saul invited him to his house to come and help him solve the problem of madness. Is that okay? Because some evil spirits normally come to torment him. So David will come there, and the Bible says he will play with what? Skill. He plays with skills, and so the demons will leave the president in charge. Sorry, the king. Sorry. And so, thank you, I have to. So. All right, so the evil spirits will leave the man. Watch this now. The reward he gets for that is association and change of location. He used to stay in the bush, but now he lives in the palace. And then the kind of people he began to relate with were no more goats, but the son of the king, who now introduces him to his own circle of influence. So when the sons of other kings come for party, or they come together to meet, David was also invited by virtue of association. Now, what brought about that association was a problem he solved. And how did he solve the problem? By the help of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God on him helped him to discern, analyze problem, and proffer solutions. How did Daniel come to the throne? Daniel was in Babylon. The king had a dream. The king didn't know the interpretation. Daniel spoke to the king. He said, sorry, sir. Give me some time. Let me return back to my company. And he went back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they prayed together. And the Spirit of God, which the king calls an excellent spirit, interpreted it, showed Daniel the dream, and interpreted the dream to Daniel. And by the help of the Spirit of God, he interpreted the dream. And because of that, he became rightly related, became a governor, became preferred, and began to head the whole affair of that particular kingdom. So much so that for four different succession of kings, Daniel became very relevant. How, sir? By solving problems through what, sir? The help. This year can become the best of your years. Am I talking to somebody here? You are going to leave this church today with the Holy Spirit going with you, making you now to say, what can I do? What kind of problem can I solve? Or is a pastor? Some people are saying, I'm looking for a job. And can I tell you something, people of God, for those of you who are here to get a job, watch this. One of the reasons why you may not get a job if you continue the way you've been going before is because most organizations want to look at when you left school and what have you been doing between that time and now. If you do, because you see, you're going to likely become much liability to them if they should recruit you with no experience. And somebody said, but pastor, there's no job now. Wait a minute. What have you been doing at home? Do you know that you can walk up to any member of the church who has a company? Instead of sitting down, just walk up to a member and say, sorry, sir, please, I learned you have a company, sir. I want to render free voluntary service. Whatever position you create for me, I don't need salary. Since I can go around hanging out with my friends, why don't I hang around in the right place? So that it will be said I occupy a position. So when I now go for an interview, I would say I've been working at so and so place. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? And you know one thing? They may ask you how much is your salary. You don't need to lie. You know, particularly for international organizations, when they hear you are working as a volunteer staff, it touches their hearts. So why sit down? Because you don't get a job. You don't have a job where you can actually go around and render services. I'm a little lazy bunch in the house of God who are just, Hokira Mataya Baba. Lord, thank you, Father. It's a year of manifestation. It's a year of Opundo. Yeah, somebody will go and also get the one from another church. It's a year of restoration, Father God. Only you know, you're combining so many years together. As some of us are not making progress. We're combining too many years. You overload yourself. Father, it's a year of, manifestation. It's a year of open. It's a year of back door. Lord, is a year of front door. No, Lord, is a year of open heavens. In fact, Lord, is a year of glory. It's a year of weight. It's a year of weight. What? It's a year of rest. It's a year of... You want to open door. You want to manifest. And you also want to rest. You're confusing your spirit. Sending too many signals to your spirit. Am I talking to somebody here? And you're not praying and doing nothing. See, I'm going to say one thing strongly here. David was anointed. And from the day he became anointed by the Spirit of God, David could no longer sit down.
Yes, sir.
Started looking for problems to solve. How is it that your own anointing keeps you on the bed until 10 in the morning? Chewing stick, watching home video, and trusting God for an open door. This year, 2010, shall be my different year. Where? We, which one? Touch your neighbor, say, wake up. You are wrong, pastor is talking to you. I'm different. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you are the one pastor. So I see it in your eyes. You are the one pastor is talking to. God, me, I'm different. I'm free from this kind of problems. Am I helping anybody in the house this morning? Got a few minutes left. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit is ageless. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Meaning that he has always been in the past. He is in the present and does exist in the future. So what that also presupposes is that the Holy Spirit has always known the things that have happened in the past. He knows the ones that will repeat themselves again today. And he knows the things that will emerge tomorrow in our world. Is that okay? Alright, so what is this? The Bible says that the secret things of our age belongs to who? But then he reveals them to who? His servants. So what that means is that God will go into the future and say, okay, look, these are the things that shall be and come to you in time. And say, my son, I want you to go now to Biagi, where that place want to preach? What's Kuje? Where went to preach in? Peggy? I think I heard that. Peggy? Yeah, Peggy. Now, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, my friend, go to Peggy now and go and buy lands. And you say, God, but there's no development there. The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit knows what is about to come to that area. And you tell him, I say, go and buy. They are selling it 25,000. I say, go buy. It will take years for development to come. Are you working in Ministry of Works? Are you working in Ministry of Works? If anybody has told you to go and buy lands across FHA, where they are trying to construct a bridge to go to link that is going to lead Kuje Road from FHA Junction area. If anybody has told you to buy lands on that area, where will civilization come there? Boom! Now, road has come in there. And you go and check how much they are selling lands there now. Happy are those who bought ahead of time. Oh Lord, how can I go and buy land in Abaji? Lord, how can I go to Abaji? It's very, very far. Do you know whether they will bring an international organization there? God spoke to somebody, a man of God. He said, go to Peggy. His church was in Sheraton. I mean, Nikon. And God said, my son, get out of Nikon. All this way they follow you to church here. They are worshiping here because it's convenient for them. This will help your ministry. God said, run quickly before you wake up and discover there's no more land. The man took off to Peggy straight. The moment they arrived Peggy, guess what? Some Chinese organizations decided to come and build their own estate, massive estate, just overlooking his own area. Diplomatic commissions are coming to that area now to build diplomatic commissions. He's a pastor. So now diplomats now go, they have access to now. Who would have ever thought that diplomats would go to Peggy? You would have always thought they are going to be staying in Maitama. We didn't know that all the Asoko office they are using it temporarily until they build their own. Help me somebody this morning. See, the Holy Spirit always knows the things that shall be. So he's always looking for his children that he will whisper to. There are some things. Hey, my child, come on. But you see, how can you hear when you are too busy? Too busy. You don't spend time with him. There are books inside some of you here. Books. Books that will change your life and change your world. There are tapes and CDs. Pastor John Ibina was sharing with us when he came from the US to speak here. And he said he was just saying, God, I need about $5,000 or something to pay for their building. And it was like, God, where am I going to get $5,000 from? And he was saying, money cometh unto me now. And it was in his house, so money cometh unto me now. And it's not going anywhere. Money cometh unto me. He said, but God, come. I mean, money coming, nothing has come. I've been here, nothing has changed. And God said, how dumb you are. He said, my son, you can do something that will bring the 5,000. He said, Lord, what do I do? He said, what? These messages I've given to you, pour the oil out. You have oil inside you. The reason why you are not blessed is because what you have on the inside, you've not yet poured it on the outside.
put it inside container and take it to the market. I'm going to repeat that one more time. The oil, everyone here has an oil. Everybody here, your oil could be talking. Your oil could be writing. Your oil could be the fact that you carry novels. Every time you read novels, you're always editing the novels. That's an editing capacity. And many writers need editors. Am I talking to somebody? That's of God. Everybody under the sound of my voice has an oil. What you need to do now is to reduce the way you pray in tongues. Oh, kaya ba 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 ba. Let it me now be. Oh, kaya ba ba ba. Show me. Oh, kaya ba 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 ba. Show me. What is it, Lord? Inside me. Show me. Oh, kaya ba ba ba. Show me. Doesn't that make sense, Pastor? That's what I call productive praying in tongues. Huh? Now watch this. Pastor John Abin, I was there, and God said to him, he said, my son, I think I'll close with this. And God said to him, he said, my son, the Holy Spirit said to him, he said, my son, why don't you look at on the inside of you? I've given you the capacity to preach. That's all I've given to you. Why don't you preach into a tape? And then he went out and said, he went to a studio. He said, I want to preach in your studio. And he said to him, no, it's going to cost you some dollars. And he didn't have that money. He had the money they were requesting for. God, he said, God, look, I don't have the money. You all heard the testimony here. When he came, he said, I don't have the money. And God said to him, hey, my friend, come, keep your mouth shut. Have you not heard about the fact that you can have your own studio on your laptop? Get ACID 4.8. Put it on your system. That's what we use now. I'm not talking about ACID 4.8. We use different softwares. That's what my people use here. That's why you get the kind of clean messages you get on your CD. That's why we're able to burn our messages immediately after service. And how much did he use there? $48 or something. Somebody that was looking for big money, $48, he was able to buy that software, put it on his own laptop, connect his own microphone to his own system, and began to preach. Praise God, somebody here. I'm preaching to some. Nobody. He was a little inside his house when his wife went to work. May God give you the grace to learn to be able to speak to your future in the absence of your audience. You understand what I just said? May you learn to start speaking to your future in the absence of your audience. What kills a lot of us is that we can't speak about our future because of the absence of the audience. So began to preach and carried it out. And God said, no, that's all right. Must produce them. So where do I take them to? He said, you have friends. Can you see that? He has a relationship that he didn't know the what of, because he has not yet produced something. When he produced, now networks began to turn into net worth. There's something we call Metcalf's law. All of you that do network marketing here, Tianshi, whatever, all network marketings are based on Metcalf's law, which says that the net worth of a product is equals to the number of users times 2. What that simply means is that raised to the power 2. What that simply means is that if you have 10,000 naira, sir, the worth of that 10,000 naira is nothing but 10,000 naira. But if you can do something to multiply 10,000 naira, then you, if you can make 10,000 naira grow to become 20,000 naira, you are multiplying the possibility of his usage. If formerly 10,000 can buy you a shoe, 20,000 can buy you more shoes. Is that okay? Let me reverse the sequence for you to understand what I'm saying now. Now, that's why they do all these downlines, sidelines, and they want to turn everybody to downlines. It's a discipleship sequence, actually. Christians are actually the ones that evolve these things. It's a discipleship pattern. Because the principles of network marketing is predicated on the fact that you clone yourself in somebody else. You reproduce yourself in somebody else. Is that okay? All right, now watch this before I close. Now, what it says is that if I have a phone, one phone, it makes it only possible for only one person to use it per time. Is that okay? All right. So the value of that network, we say, is nothing. But if we now have two phones, now the possibility of that phone to be used is multiplied by 2. So 2 phones can increase the number of users to 4. Are you getting something right now? If we have 3 phones, it raises the power of the possibility of those who are going to use it to become 9. 4, 16. 5, 25. So if you increase the number, you increase the possibility of its outcomes. Now, what am I saying by that? You see, if you have a gift and the Holy Spirit has not yet shown it to you, you remain the way you are. But once you go to prayer, say, show me what I have. Because God has not left you on earth to depend on somebody else to become something. I'm going to say that one more time. You are not going to become somebody by depending on somebody. Now listen to me. People may come into your life to help you, but to be predicated on what God has put on the inside of you. You get that now? And so Pastor John Abina took that CD and went to his friends. Hey friends, I'm coming to preach in your church and all of that. And moved straight away to, I think, was it California or somewhere? Went there to preach. And then when he got there, he said, well, I kept there to preach. And I also brought my messages. And right there, they sold everything. And he's got about $5,000 and came back. So can you see now, he's got what it takes to solve his problem. But because the Holy Spirit didn't speak to him, he remained the way he was. Making confessions without introspection. Somebody open your mouth now and say, show me the path of life. Somebody say one more time, say, show me the path of life. Now the next thing I want somebody to say is, show me what I have. Please say it one more time. Raise your hands and say, Lord, show me what I have. Say it one more time before we close. Say, show me what I have. If you believe that, shout a big amen in the house of God. I want to end up the service very simply by saying that the Holy Spirit wants to start talking to you right from now. Before you go too far into this year, He wants to tell you what you must launch out that will launch you forth in 2010. There is something you must do this year to have a different year. I can tell you what it is, but the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you about it. Let me close with these simple examples too. Jesus Christ was with his disciples and, you know, he had several people to take care of, but then the bread was not enough. And then Jesus said to them, he said, hey, guys. He said, come, let me ask you a question. He said, what do you have with you? And that's what God is asking somebody right now. What do you have with you? And they said, we have nothing but just a loaf of bread and two loaves of bread and a few fishes and all of that. And Jesus said, bring it, that's enough. And the Bible says he gave thanks and there's something multiplied. What am I trying to say? You have something. The reason why you've remained the way you are is simply because you've never taken time to look at you. Let me say it this way. You've gone everywhere except to yourself. You've talked to everybody except talking to yourself. You've searched everywhere except searching inside you. This morning, the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you about something that you can bring out, a product, a service you can render. It can change your life around. Hey! The Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly more than what we ask or think about. This is a year not just to ask God, but to think. Put your mind to work this year. Put your mind to... There's money in this country. There's money here. My friend, Bolaji, sent him to buy equipment. I sent him roughly about $6,000 to $7,000. He said, Pastor Sam, the moment that money entered my account, he said, IRS called him. He said, for what? He said, how did he get that money? And they have to trace the money. How did it come from Nigeria? How kind of? I say, why are they tracing that kind of thing? See, Pastor Sam, such they don't those kind of money. You don't hold them if you are not somebody like in the superstar, the celebrity. I say, we spend the year. FIRS we could know our house. We spend that here. We get them here. Praise God. You see, Pastor Sam, some of my friends, they will say they're on holiday. They are coming to America on holiday. And the moment they come to America on holidays, boom, he said, they'll just be bringing out money, $10,000, buying car. He said, Pastor Sam, do you know what it means to make $10,000 here? He said, better come back home. Come back home. Come back home. Coming back home quickly. We are calling you back home. Living in a mortgage. Mortgage. We don't do mortgage. We buy homes. Cash. Hello, sir. How about your house? How much is your house? 200 million. It's okay. Let me see documents. I hope they are correct. I'll call my account officer. I will sign. Tomorrow, cash the money. That's how we buy houses here. Amen. Whatsoever thou doest, do it quickly. Try to be paying me. Pay small money. My children will come and pay for it. Pay now and pick. Want to buy just common. Want to buy just a common Mercedes GL450. And I'll be paying small. 6 million naira. He goes straight to the market. Hello, how much is this? Who is the owner? Are you the genuine? Can I see the document? All right, fine. Sorry, right now the money is. If we don't even on account of that. We carry these things in Ghana must go. What are you talking about? Boom! Just see. Do you know what I'm talking about, sir? We press the buttons and put open up and Ghana must go come out. Hello, Daniel. Bring the bag. Get into the car. We'll check out of this place. They are crying recession. We are only hearing about it too. Like, this is one funny country. Recession. This was the year in which house rents were going up. I thought mortgage was going to affect because of foreclosures and all of that abroad. I was praying, okay, fine. Thank God. This is the time where money, the cost of houses is going to fall. The cost, this was even when the premier of FCT came up and said, listen, from now, he said the cost of land, the CFO per square meter now is 8. He raised the money for the first time. Don't be small. 18,000. When everybody's crying recession, that's when we are going to elevation. Hey, friends, this is your good year. Yeah. That amen is from. It's great to have Pastor Buki here. Yeah. But your amen is sounding Americanized. It's sounding recessionalized. And don't let us feel embarrassed here. Yeah. Let her know that come back home. Amen. Praise God. Would it be good for her to come and live in Abuja? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. What are you going to be living in London? See, well, it could be cool. As if they drove you from home. You don't know. Hey, they all feel light because they say it's meter. Which kilowatt was meter. We put on light, put on jet. That's how we live here. Praise God. Now listen. They are eating our money and Nigeria has not run dry. This country is blessed. You cannot be broke in a blessed country. If you are broke, something is wrong. And that wrong thing is the fact that you have not discovered who you are. Show me who I am. Yes, Holy Spirit, show me what I have. Every time God wants to turn a man's life around, God will use what the person has. Moses, you are going to set a whole nation free. What do you have in your hands? A rod. That's what I want to use. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? Check it up. Every time God wants to change somebody's life, what do you have? Your hands. It's somebody's time to be turned around. I'd like you to stand on your feet, everybody, and begin to bless the name of the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, I ask that you show me what I have. Show me what I have. Show me what I have. Speak to me. Open my eyes. Let me discover myself. Open your mouth and bless his name. Say, show me what I have. Show me on the inside. This is just the beginning of this teaching. It's going to get deeper. I'm going to be showing you how much the Holy Spirit can make your life productive. You can become a more equipped tailor. You can become a more functional banker. You can begin to do so very well in whatever profession. From Monday, in fact, the ministry of the Holy Spirit begins from tomorrow, Monday. So you are going to open your eyes, everybody. I need to say that quickly so that we'll close. Some of you, because the only place where the Holy Spirit works is in church. Come to church. Hey, keep on. Hey, Surah Ramabasha. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Hey, Father God, I feel him. It's going down now. It's going down. It's going down. He has gone down. My Father, thank you. Then immediately after the service, I finish work with the Holy Spirit. And then now, hey, my friend, how are you doing now? We're back to normal. And then on Monday, you are going to work. Life resume normal. Now listen, the ministry of the Holy Spirit begins on Monday. Now go to the office. Holy Spirit, teach me how to balance accounts. How have you been balancing the universe? Did you hear what I just said? Holy Spirit, how have you been balancing the equation of the universe? That although there is melting of ice in the polar islands, you have not allowed unnecessary upsurge, imbalance in the oceans of the world. Have you been making sure that the sun is suspended? It rises when it should rise and the moon comes up when it should come. Have you been balancing the equation? If you can balance it, teach me how to balance. Take a time out. Go on the internet. Look at the flowers in Singapore. Look at the flowers in some of these Asiatic countries. Look at how beautiful their flowers are. I say, Holy Spirit, teach me how to combine colors. Teach me fashion. Teach me how to design. Look at how God dresses the leopards. How he dresses them in sports. Look at how God dresses the zebras in their marks. Look at all these things. Look at how God neatly patterns the marks on the legs of a zebra to fashion out into his thin legs. Holy Spirit, teach me patterns. Going around, be going to look for books of dead men. How many of you are ready to go to work with Holy Spirit tomorrow? Somebody saying, Father, Pastor Sam, how about drivers? Holy Spirit, teach me to drive well. Teach me to drive well. How have you been conducting the affair of the universe such that nations, listen to me, Africa is a continent, Europe is a continent, America is a continent. How have you been balancing the equation, driving the affairs of the universe such that continents have not yet come to collide together? And they are collidable, but you've kept them. Lord, keep me on the path as I drive. Underneath me, you said that the everlasting arms. As I go to drive, let me maintain a record that in this organization, I'm the only driver that drives and I've driven for years without any single accident. Because underneath me are your everlasting arms. Father, show me the paths in the skies. What path have you created for the eagles? How is it that they fly from a spot and they know where they're going to? And without having a map, they get to their destination. Lord, as a pilot, I should be able to get to my destination with compass on my hand. Skill is available, but your spirit will make it better. And fly throughout my whole career and not have a crash. Everybody here needs the Holy Spirit. Housewife. Say, Pastor, about me, Holy Spirit. How can I use Holy Spirit in the house? You are the one that needs Holy Spirit the most. Show me how to handle this man. This man. How is God managing very angry, terrible human beings on earth? How is he managing them? Show me how you manage people, Lord. Show me. Lift your hands now if you need him. Say, Holy Spirit, visit me. Open my eyes. Show me. Show me the path. Show me the path. Open your mouth now quietly and just talk to God. Open your mouth. Talk to God. And if you are not born again, the Holy Spirit can't talk to you if you are not a child of God yet. Or maybe you used to be a Christian, but somehow I don't lie. You have started dodging into some small, bad things. Started doing some things you should not be doing as a child of God. Testing what you should not be testing. Drinking what you should not be drinking. Holding what you should not be holding. Sleeping where you should not be sleeping. Going to where you should not be going to. Is he coming to church? Now quickly tell Holy Spirit, quick. He won't talk to you. He can't talk to you like that. You'll be struggling on your own, but you can end up the whole struggle this moment. So Holy Spirit, come. I want to give my life to you right now. I want to give my life. I want to become a child of God today. Restore me back into fellowship with you. Restore me back into fellowship with you. Restore me back into fellowship with you. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. In Jesus' name we pray. Please put your hands down, everybody. Somebody just pray that prayer right now. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. Somebody just pray that prayer right now. When I was saying that, you know, maybe you're not even born again. You just came to church this morning. Or you've even been in this church for a long time. But you know the Holy Spirit can't talk to you. You know your life. You know yourself. You don't want to let this year continue like that. You want to start a fresh relationship so that the Holy Spirit will bring to an end this misery of confusion that surrounds you. You want to give your life to Christ so that the governor can now start talking to you about the kingdom. About what pertains to your life. Or maybe you used to be a Christian, but somewhere you started going through some bad things. Drinking bad things, testing bad things, holding bad things, sleeping on bad beds. Right now we can pray together. Just place your left. If you are the kind of person, you are sincere with your God, you are not here, you are not playing games with anybody. You want to say, Pastor Sam, please pray with me. I want to start a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Place your left hand only on your chest. Quickly. I want to pray with you right now. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Your left hand on your chest. There's no shame about this, and I did it 20 years ago.